talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
Away we go. It's a Getaway Friday here on WGH Talk. Friday, June the 19th, 2026. 16 minutes past the hour, and we thank the legendary Sugar Hill Gang, Hen Dog, and DJ T-Dynasty for being on the program. They'll be at the Aretha Franklin Amphitheater this coming Sunday, Father's Day, 7 p.m. in Detroit, Michigan, and then right here in Marion on May the 7th, 2027 at the Palace Theater. How about that? That's going to be some. See, Matt, you would not expect in the middle of our morning talk on this program to hear the Sugar Hill Gang, the people who brought rap music to the airwaves.
I thought it was good. Good interview.
We can do an it's called a variety station. Pure variety. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And they rapped the Rapper's Delight.
I thought, yeah, yeah. Acapella was good.
All right, didn't it? You got that right. See, anybody, they'll do anything you ask. If anybody's got anything they'd like to say, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to buzz in. The Bobby Floyd Trio, hosted by Shauna McNamara, featuring artist LaCosta Mays and comedian Cameron Steele, will be at the May Pavilion. Tomorrow night, June the 30th, doors open at 6 p.m. Silent auction, 50-50 drawing, general admission $40. Bobby Floyd, it's a tremendous event. Marion's only Grammy Award winner, native-born Grammy Award winner. Red, White, and You weekend, America 250, Thursday, June the 16th, 4:30, downtown's third Thursday goes Red, White, and Blue. Friday, July 17th, 3 p.m., Etowah's Grand Homecoming, but we're not sure what that is or where that is. 4 p.m., Homecoming Picnic at the Harding Library and Museum. Saturday, July the 18th, 10:30 a.m., Wreath Laying Ceremony at the Harding Memorial. 12 p.m., OHIO, What a Celebration Birthday Block Party at the Exploratorium. 7:30 p.m., Marty Stewart and his Fabulous Superlatives at the Palace Theater. Sunday, July the 19th, an old-fashioned ice cream social at the Women's Club Home. And 7 p.m. on the 19th, Concert in the Park with United in Harmony at McKinley Park. And that's the rundown, 740-383-9944. Now, before we talked with the Sugar Hill Gang, we were talking about curfews, and drag it right back.
Okay.
Curfews, and should kids, adult kids, have to abide by parents' rules on anything? Do you think they should? No.
Should they have to abide by their parents' rules?
Yeah.
Like children?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess.
Grown people.
Oh. Well, no. I mean, there are, like, reasonable rules, I suppose, but I don't know, given like, a grown person a curfew just doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, I don't think. I don't know, there's a bunch of rules that I just, I don't think feel you really need.
People got really into that before we went to the Sugar Hill Gang there.
Well, that's good. I mean, I think it's a fine conversation to have. It's, you know.
Anyway, people are always my roof, my rules. See, I think that's a little controlling, and I don't know that we should have controlling like that. I'm not controlling.
Probably.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you're just asking for parents to coddle their kids. When they die and they're 90 years old, they're going to have their 65-year-old kid there still.
See, I think you're wrong. I think coddling the person is treating them like a child.
Yeah, I think...
No, coddling the child is letting them to stay there, do whatever they want, and not go out in the world and find their way.
I think that...
That's what coddling is.
I think that people need to, for lack of a better term, like, find their own way in life, if that makes sense. You know, people got to make mistakes and learn. You can't just...
parents.
Can't just, you know, coddle people forever. People got to make their own mistakes.
My parents didn't do that. But there's some parents that when you're 18, you're out of the house.
Well, that's fine,
they
too.
Don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, they got the right.
That's fine.
Yeah, they got
but
the right.
But once you let them back in, you shouldn't be treating an adult like a baby.
No, you should be treating them like a baby so they get the gumption and want to get out of there.
Oh, so you're really trying to force them out is what you're saying.
Well, I want communication with them, but I want them to grow up.
Ah, so now we get
the house
it.
And do drugs all day?
No, nobody's saying.
That's what they're going to do.
Listen, if you tell them to be home by 9 and they want to do drugs, they're going to do drugs at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Just let them stay there, Mom. Let them eat your food. You buy their food. You buy their toilet paper. They come in at all hours of the day, drunk, high. Oh. Sometimes they're so high they're passed out.
But what does that have to do with a curfew?
Don't say anything to them, Mom. Oh, no.
I'm not saying
no. No, look.
If they come in drunk and high, yes, I would have a problem with that. But
if
I don't...
come in drunk or high, they need to go out and find their way in the world.
Oh, okay, I'll agree with that as well.
Age, and then when they go to retire, they ain't going to get nothing on Social Security.
No, but I think we're not talking about the same thing here. Once
we are.
No, I don't think so, because once you let them in, they're in. I don't know...
If your kids had the gumption to stay there for a couple weeks and get on their feet and get out, your logic wouldn't be bad. But when you let a kid run over you, then they're going to run over you like you're a marathon.
Listen, when you're 65 and your kid's 30, I hate to break it to you, they can run over you. If they want to go out that door, you're not stopping them.
Well, I hate to break it to you. No kid's going to run over me because I don't have kids.
No, but it's true.
And I'm
no.
64, and it's too damn late.
Right, but, well, it's never too late from my understanding. But the point is that no 65, 70-year-old parent is going to stop a 30 or 40-year-old from going out the door.
Well, no, but the 30 or 40-year-old ain't going to want to go out the door if the parents are going to let them stay there and do exactly what they please.
So what does this have to do with a curfew?
I don't think it's exactly what you please. I mean, curfew
can be part of it. It don't have to be. If you tell them they're responsible for mowing the yard, they mow the yard.
I agree.
That's fine.
There's rules.
Yeah, but those are adult things.
Yeah, but like...
I agree with... That's his name, Phil, the last caller, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with him 100%.
Well, but what I'm saying... I don't think you should impose child rules on adults. No
if
adult...
If you had a kid that was responsible, and you knew it, and you knew they wouldn't stay there and take advantage of you, you wouldn't be imposing some rules. But when you have immature kids that's taken advantage of you all your life, and they come back to stay with you when they're 40 years old, you got rules.
What if they're coming to take care of you? What if you're, you know, let's say you broke your leg, and it's your house, and you're paying all the bills, and so on and so forth. Now, what if you slap a curfew on them then? They're going to set you in a wheelchair over in the corner, and you're going to be stuck.
But the way my brother looked at it is, he lived at home almost all his life. At one point, Mom and Dad paid his car payment, his boat payment, the insurance on the car, the insurance on the boat. He'd run around selling drugs and coming in at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And when Mom did get bad for about the last 6 years of her life, John was there to take care of him. And I feel he owed her that for taking care of him all his life. No, he feels like, ooh, look what I did. Everything should be left to me.
Oh, well, now that's a whole different story. But, no, I think, now listen, I,
Mom
that's.
Lucky he was there to help take care of him. But you know if he hit the lottery, would he been there? No. He was just there because there wasn't no place else for him to live.
But there are a lot of situations. Now, if you move away from home, and let's say your brother or sister still lives in the same city as your parents, of course it's going to fall to the the child who lives closest. There are all kinds of situations. If you don't work and the brother or sister does work, it's going to fall to the one that doesn't work. It's just going to fall to the person who's more available.
Some kids, the ones that should be taken care of, won't end up being the one taking care of them, and they'll throw them in a nursing home.
Well, I hate to tell you, if you get so bad, you're going to a nursing home anyway. Your kid, I don't want your kid taking care of you if you need round-the-clock care.
No, I'm not going to a nursing home ever again. That's it.
Well, all I know is there shouldn't...
I won't be. You can.
Because you want your freedom.
Yeah,
you don't
want
a curfew.
Tell me what to do.
You don't want the nursing home who owns the nursing home to give you rules.
No, I don't want them because that's why I got my own place. That's why I worked all my life. That's why when I was in my early 20s, I moved out of mom and dad's house. Nobody's ever co-signed for me for nothing.
But didn't you just say that you didn't like it because they gave you rules?
Who?
The nursing home.
Yes. Because I didn't grow up that way in my life, living off of people, so I'm not going to go to a nursing home and want to grow up.
Okay, so when you go to the nursing home and they give you rules, that's not cool. But if somebody moves in with you, and you, again, nursing home owns the nursing home, so if somebody moves in with you, you're allowed to give them rules?
Nursing home and moving in with your mom or dad. Big difference.
Well, I mean, you're getting taken care of either way, I guess.
Right, but I don't want taken care of. I've never wanted taken care of.
I don't think anybody wants taken care of. I think that just kind of has to happen sometimes.
You live in a nursing home. Let's say you use bedpan while you're in a nursing home. You think they clean you?
I have no clue. I've never been to...
No. When you wipe a... Have you ever wiped the baby's ass?
Nope, don't got kids. I avoid that.
You don't have no younger siblings?
Me and my brother and my sister are all a year apart, so...
But when you wipe a child's butt, you gotta get the wipe with your fingers in between your butt and wipe it.
See, this is why I didn't have kids.
When you go to a nursing home, they're not gonna do that. Your butt's gonna be left there dirty, filthy. You're gonna get shit all over your bed when you do get up, and your ass is gonna get sore. That's what happens in a nursing home.
Well, I mean, you could probably report those nurses for not doing their jobs.
Yeah, I don't think that's how a nursing home is supposed to run.
Yeah. That's what they do in nursing homes.
You ever report them?
Oh, no. Do you think if you reported that, they would actually do something about that?
Well, yes, if you've got a rash, I mean, have a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, if the nurses are doing something that affects your health, I feel like that's a liability to the nursing home.
But I wasn't in there long enough.
Well, I think you should call him now.
I saved my dinner napkins when I was using bedpan, and I could barely turn over and get to my ass to wipe it after they cleaned you off. So I saved every one of my napkins when I got my food so I could wipe my ass after they did it. And if you get confrontational to them, they get mad.
Well, I don't think you should get confrontational, but I think you should call the nursing home today and ask to talk to the administrator.
Well, that wouldn't do no good for when I was in a nursing home years ago.
No, but they could be for the people who are there right now.
Oh, I don't need to worry about that now. I'm not going back to a nursing home.
Well, let's hope not.
Yeah, let's hope not.
All right, well, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. See, you talk about dumpsters, and you talk about flock cameras, and you talk about Iran. The real heat comes when you start talking about curfews. That's when you draw the real heat from people. 740-383-9944. Holy Moses. Okay, what do you think?
I don't see a point in imposing. I mean, people are gonna do what people want to do anyways. I mean, if you give me a curfew till like 10 o'clock and I'm out till 12, what are you gonna do? Tell me to leave? I mean, okay, I guess. I mean, you can kick me out. You should have never let me back in, I guess.
You know, parents, I think, always regret it when they kick the kids out.
I don't know why you want to live with your parents forever.
No, I'm just saying, parents do regret that. It's very hard to kick your kid out. That's not a pleasant thing. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Hey.
How many kids you got?
Here we go. None.
How many in a realistic world at your age and all that, how many do you think you're going to have?
Well, I don't know. You never know.
you close to a serious relationship right now?
You know what they say, hope springs eternal.
Well, yeah, and hope is marrying's economy, too.
I know somebody in their 50s who just had a kid.
Listen, at this point...
You know who you end up loving? Your city.
Well, listen, if I got somebody pregnant at this point, I'd be so senile by the time the kid was old enough to move back in with me, I wouldn't remember anything anyway.
Okay, but as I said, why is it, if a friend moved into your house and needed to stay there for a couple of weeks, would you just let them have, you know, their way in your house and they can do whatever the hell they want to do?
No.
I mean, like, it'll be like the base rule. Like, you know, you can't just, like, I mean, you pick up after yourself, basically.
Yes, pick up after yourself. Don't block the driveway, okay. You know, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, who am I to give you a curfew? You're a grown person.
That's a given, but I think you're kind of being a little delusional and unrealistic in today's world, in my opinion, that if you think those kids, 98% of the kids today, are going to take care of you when you die, hell no, they ain't. They're going to wait for you to die and then move into your place.
Now, see, I prefer the nursing home because I think strangers are better at that moment in your life. I really don't want anybody to see me in that kind of condition.
I'm kind of like your prior caller. I don't want to go to a nursing home because I've dealt with stuff like that, and I know people that work there, and I'm not on a binge against any nursing home, so I'm not trying to, you know, piss anybody off here. But in the world today, whether it be cops, firemen, contractors, nursing homes, you can't find quality people, and it's always been that way for a long time, and it's even more so today. So, yeah, I mean, nobody really wants to put their or have their parent in a nursing home. It's really not, I mean... Well, humans are the greatest creation of God. We're also the worst creation of God.
You know what, though? I'll tell you this. I have had a parent, not permanent, but in a nursing home for a period, recovering from something. And you know what? It was not a big issue. I mean, it was not bad.
And I get it. And you know what? I mean, as I said, I'm not an all-or-nothing person. There's good contractors, there's good lawyers, there's good police chiefs, there's also a shit ton of bad ones. I mean, and I'm really going to piss people off here. To me, with all the crap that has gone down in the Catholic Church with priests and all that, you as a parent, if you take your kids to a Catholic Church, wow. I get it. You want to be involved with religion and all that, and not all Catholic churches are, but man, there's a whole lot of them.
I think the majority of them aren't. You just don't hear about the ones that aren't because there's nothing to hear about.
You think the majority of them aren't? Really? I disagree with you there, bud.
You think the majority? Okay.
Man is a sinful species, and you can see online daily. I post them daily, whether they be Republican or Democrat, but there's no shortage of pedophiles and pervs and all of this hiding in plain sight. Really isn't. So, you know, thinking that the majority of, I mean, from my understanding, I kind of look into this stuff from time, it's just something that fascinates me. You know, if you watch there was a movie out a while ago about the Boston priests and all that. I can't think of the name off the top of my head. But it happens and is happening, and if you look and track it, the Catholic Church has paid out billions of dollars almost in settlements. And every time, even the Pope today, the present Pope is coming out against all of it, finally. It's just a struggle.
Well, no, I think that's right. I mean, I think where we're going here, though, I think when we start painting anything, sometimes we'll say all police officers are all doctors are all nursing homes are all kids. You know, I don't think it is. I think there are bad apples in all these situations, but I don't think it's all. And I think that all politicians, you know, but I, I don't know that it's always all, and I think that's the problem. I think we hear more about the bad ones because, you know, you don't complain about the television that's working. You complain about the one that's broken. So you hear more about that, but for every broken one, there's probably 100 that are working.
I try to do my best to not use concrete words. How I'm speaking right now comes from years past, issues in my life, counseling, this, that, and the other, and I try to not be a never or always person. I have no hate in my, I mean, I've got people online that come at me and, well, you put this and that on Facebook about the president, so you must hate him. And my response is, I don't have any hate for anybody. I dislike him. I can't stand him. I despise him. I all those things. But for me, the light bulb went on one day in a struggle where I have to love my neighbor as I love myself. And that's whether they're a Republican, Democrat, whether I agree with them, don't agree with them. You know, and I struggle with that because when you love somebody, you associate that with liking them. The light bulb went off, and I can love my fellow man. I can wish them well and encourage them to do well and even help them or do whatever. But I don't have to like them. I don't even have to like their lifestyle. For me, it's long as you're not molesting kids, long as you're not doing, I'm real big on these special favors that Malcolm Smith gave out to everybody and all that shit, and then the average person, citizen of Marion, you know, gets screwed. See, I'm not about that. Let's all work together. Let's be together. Let's do things together. We don't have to like each other. I'm going to tell you flat out. I'll look you in the eye without emotion and tell you I don't like you. That doesn't have any impact on whether I think you're a good person or whether I think you can do a job well or not.
Well, and I think we all feel that way. I think we want everything to be a level playing field. But I do think...
Do you really think it's all? I hate to, you know, but we just said that. Is it really all? God?
Do we all want to... Well, I think we all want to level...
No, you just said, I think we all... No. Well, I'm just jumping on it to make the point.
Well, I don't know who doesn't want a level playing field.
Elon Musk, Bill Gates,
No, but I think they did in the beginning. I think they did.
I'm just listing off some names. Jeff Bezos.
I don't know if that's true, though. I don't know. How do I know?
Well, I don't know it's true either. That's why they're called opinions.
Right.
I mean, if we go down that route, we can't talk about anything unless we absolutely know it's true or not, right?
Yeah, but you know, I mean, like earlier on today, you know, I think people are very obsessed with money. And I don't really think that money is really the goal that people should be going for. Now, do you need to have a roof over your head? Well, yes, you do. Do you need to eat? Yes, you do. You need to do all those things. But if money is your goal, every successful person I've ever met, the goal was never money. And if you know what, if you talk to these people who are so concerned with money, they did okay in their life, but they seem to be angry. They seem to be so concerned with what other people are making. Well, why do I don't care what
they're focused on stuff?
Yeah, I don't care what anybody else is making.
Money is just something that's a necessity in our economy, in our lifestyle, in our society, and it's a necessity. But you know, the Bible says for the love of money is the root of all evil.
It should be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it should be for a rich man to get into the gates of heaven.
Yeah, all I know is I learned a long time ago never to talk with people about money, because if you find out that I'm making more to you, the person who's doling out the money is not going to give you more money to catch up with me. They're going to take money from me to make sure you're even. And that doesn't work very well. So anybody who tells what they make, I think, is a complete fool.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but I also, you know what? I'm all about the transparent. The more transparent we are, and the more checks and balances we have, it's a pain in the ass to have checks and balances, but without them, look what we get. You know, so I think we kind of have to err on the side of, you know, yeah, it's kind of a pain in the ass to do it that way, but time after time after time, you know, have you ever heard of the Stanford experiment?
Yeah.
You know, where they've taken people and they've put them in a position of authority, like in a prison and all that. And this has been recreated over and over again in different colleges and different scenarios. And typically, you know, when you put people in authority positions, over people, they take advantage of them. Not all, not zero.
Well, that's it. It's authority, not money. You know,
okay, but money is about authority in our world.
I don't.
Money is money. To many, the reason, in my opinion, the money or the reason people go into politics or this and that is about the status, the not so much the money in marrying, but there's a lot of money to be made in side deals, in relationships, in, well, you know, I got in, I'm only making this much money, you know, from my job.
Are you talking about corruption?
You know, $500,000 worth of rats to the city and put them on all their bus and love your city signs everywhere and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, all I'm saying is that if you put supervisor in front of somebody's name, it doesn't matter if they're making the same money. The supervisor title tends to go to a lot of people's head. And,
well, it depends on what's important to you. That's a basic business school tactic right there, that if you have somebody that's working for you and they're complaining about not being recognized or whatever, you know, to throw a title at them.
Right.
Me, when I was taught that in college, that came across as insincere. I'm a type of businessman, is I want to take care of my workers. Not everybody, not every person who's in business wants that.
Everybody says they want to be treated fairly, but if you get more money than somebody else, I bet you're happy to get it. If you can get a job more than cheaper, better, whatever it is.
I negotiate for my money for everything, for any job I've ever had. And if you, and I guess my response to you, somebody told me once that, you know, if you come in and for a job interview and you're trying to get good money and you're trying to tell them you've got all this experience and then you put down that you'll accept $8 an hour, then you just killed yourself. Because who in the hell would, you know, accept $8 an hour? You know, I go in and sell who I am because I stand on what I can do, and I'm solid on that.
But
if you can't do that, I don't hide. If you ask me, I'll tell you what the hell I made.
Right, but also
I'll tell you about all my benefits.
Right,
I'll tell you flat out. And if you get butt hurt like that, you might want to step your game up.
Right. Well, but I also think if you put $15 down, they're not even going to look at you. Well, we ain't paying that. Forget that.
Well, I had back surgery several years back. I've had two. It was work related. I finally got off that during the coin gate, because I was in the middle of that, and I was going to school for construction management, and then all of my funding got cut because of the whole coin gate thing, and workers' comp had to cut money somewhere, so they cut it to the people who deserved it. But then I went in and started working for myself, and I went out, and I remember telling my wife, because I had four different interviews, one for Durable Slate, one for a restoration company, none for another place, and I went to all four of them, and I told her. I hadn't worked in 3 years, and I told her that here's what I'm going to go in and ask, a minimum, and I won't take a penny less, and she was pissed. I mean, she was beside herself. I came home with all four jobs.
Yeah, but, you know, I also know people who had the job, and when they were told what the pay was, they said, I can't live on that, and never took the job. And you know what?
There is nothing in life that is, you do it this way, you will always get this result.
Right, but you know, the problem is now not only do they not have that job or that amount of money, they got no job and no income. So, which was better? Take that job until you find something better.
Some of us are followers, some of us are sheep, some of us are wolves, and that's all good. Some of us are created for battle. Some of us are created for just blending in. There's nothing wrong with any of it.
I agree. I think there are certain things that people should just keep to themselves, because if you're asking, there's a reason you want to know. You wouldn't ask if you didn't want to know. And there's got to be a reason.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. I mean, come on, man. That's kind of a dumb statement.
Well, yeah, but people don't think of it like that.
You didn't want to know.
No, but what we don't know is why you want to know. Why do you want to know that? Why do you want to know that?
I'm going to put this on the radio. Anything that ever comes out of my mouth around you, Scott, or you see me post or anything, ask me why. I'll tell you.
Right. No,
that's what I can do. I can't speak for the rest of the people. I can't speak for you, and I don't want to. And I'm not an all-or-nothing person. This is just me offering my opinion on, you know, say maybe, I don't know, 30% of the population may follow with me. 30% of the population may follow with you. 30% of the population may follow with Matt.
Well, no, what I'm saying...
And we can all be right.
What I'm saying is, I'm not saying that anybody can post anything and anybody can do anything. What I'm saying, and interventionally, you can say, well... You know, you can ask me anything. My question is, when somebody approaches me with something, whatever it is, the question, I know there's a reason they want to know that. And you know what? Sometimes it is a nefarious reason because it doesn't do...
Sure.
It doesn't mean anything to them
to know that. Well, have the ears and eyes of discernment. You know, that's why what happens at city council or whatever. Today, if somebody presents an idea and if anybody, unless their known allies, present a question that's probably already been scripted, if anybody else, if I raise my hand or Naomi raise their hand, they immediately condition themselves that any question that comes out of my mouth or her mouth is going to be adversarial. And I've said on the record there several times, just because I have a question doesn't mean I'm against it. Lila is big on the, you know, she just butthurt about this whole charter thing didn't pass and wanted to make it clear every time when she was still on council. Well, guess what? And I've said this on my page, and I've said this on your show and up in council. I wasn't against it, and I know a lot of people weren't against it. They were against it being ram-jammed through. They were against it. They wanted answers to questions. And many of them admitted as they answered the question. Even Naomi said, I'm not really 100% against it. I'm kind of for it. I'm kind of for this, this, and this. I don't want it ram-jammed, you know, in an emergency session, and we suspend the rules and all that kind of shit, because that suspend the rules and all that time after time after time comes across to the public that you're shooting from the hip. You know, if you're shooting from the hip, you're reacting. You shouldn't be at 2.5 years or whatever. You should all be in the game enough to not be reacting. If you're reacting, you're not doing your fucking job.
And it's certainly a point. Hey, thanks for calling.
That's so good.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay, got anything to say, Matt?
I mean, there was a lot there. I mean, as far as the whole Charter City thing goes, I mean, I think the Charter City thing was kind of reactionary. I mean, you know, I don't know how long, I don't know when Marion was founded, but, you know, as long as Marion's been founded, we've been running on the same kind of statutory system that we got now. So, if the problem is now, then obviously it wasn't the statutory system, otherwise we would have had problems the entire time. So, I mean, you know.
All right, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, did you see where Sherrod Brown is trying to introduce that if you are working for the federal government, you know, politicians, you know, offices like that, that you cannot buy and sell and trade stocks?
I saw that, and a lot of people are unhappy with that.
Who did it?
Who would be unhappy with that?
Well,
if they're unhappy with that, maybe they don't want to run. And maybe that's a good thing, because if they was wanting to run so they can get rich, too bad.
Well, yeah, but a lot
too many politicians over the years, especially years ago, got very wealthy off of, you know, stocks and bonds.
Well, they still do.
And a long, long time ago, politicians and people got wealthy because of land grants given to them.
I mean, not too long ago, Mike Johnson got up in the middle, like, you know, the Speaker of the House got up, and then he gave some whole big spiel about how they don't make enough to live, and about how the trading the stocks is like, I was like, you make more than the average American. You make plenty to live. You don't know what you're talking about. So, I mean, you know, they're actively fighting against it.
If that's your goal for wanting to go into politicians, we don't. Politics, we don't need you.
I don't know necessarily that that's the goal. I think that they just say, well, I can do it, and they do.
Well, he might not be able to do it if Brown gets his way.
Well, and Brown is one vote in the Senate.
If that takes out some people that, you know, willing to run, I'm fine losing them. I want the people that are trying to do good for the country.
Yeah, but Brown
How did Sherrod Brown sponsor a bill?
He can't.
Yeah, he's not in the...
Well, he's running, but that's...
Oh, is that something he ran?
Like
is he's running on?
Yeah, but I think it's his new commercial. And I think what he is trying to say is there's corruption, I think because people came after him. So, again, it's a reaction. People came after him because they said that Epstein has given him money, Epstein supporters, and I'm sure it's Wexner, is probably the one.
Wexner's given Sherrod Brown money?
I don't know for sure, but I think there was a commercial run.
There was a commercial run against John Husted that
same thing,
that,
and
yeah.
I think he ran the thing back at Sherrod Brown.
Just the same exact thing?
There you are.
Well, I don't care about the rich people.
Politics is so stupid right
now. They can go down.
Well, you can guarantee that Sherrod Brown owns some stocks and bonds, and he probably got them when he was a senator.
Well, no doubt.
Well, but now all of a sudden...
You don't have to sell them, but you can't be trading them.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, what's the point in having them if you can't do anything with them?
Especially these piece senators stay in office for 100 years. Look at Grassley. You don't want him to trade his stocks for 90 years that he's been in the Senate?
Yes, he doesn't need to be doing it. No.
Now look, I think that if this thing somehow manages to happen, I think it's far more likely that you're going to see every single one of them either like do like mass sell-offs or somehow like I don't know like try to hide it.
And that would be good for people to start buying it up.
Well, it would probably hit the stock market.
If everybody starts selling, the price is going to go down.
It would probably hit the stock market pretty hard.
And what the. Buckley, or what's his name?
Who?
That one rich dude. Oh, I can't think of his name. I'm going to buzz on right now.
Well, do you have a curfew?
Yes, I should.
Thanks for calling.
Yep.
Buffett, I think, was who he meant. Warren Buffett.
Oh.
All right, 740-333-9944. But he wasn't a politician. He could trade his thing.
Yeah, well, but that's what I was saying. That's all he was. He was just an investor.
Oh, man. 8 minutes left to go. Well, we'll be back on tonight, 8 to 10. Tune that in. We got a special guest, I think, tonight, 8 to 10. So special you don't even know. What's coming up on your show tonight, 10 to 11?
Tonight we're going to be talking about the U.S.-Iran, I guess U.S.-Iran-Israel peace deal.
Is that what that was?
Allegedly.
Yeah.
So we're going
to... We give up.
So I'm gonna probably go over the 14 points and you know that whole thing and then you know so politics and war
and phone lines are open 740-383-9944. Well, we only got 8 minutes left and we probably should have talked about this more this morning because big Ohio news. But Mike DeWine wants to abolish the death penalty. Calls on the legislature to do it. That's big news this week. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's fine. That's good. I mean...
So you're anti-death penalty?
I mean... if the whole purpose of the death penalty is to scare people away from killing people, I think it doesn't work.
Well, I think we've proven that. There's been a moratorium on the death penalty in Ohio since 2019. The last person executed was in 2018. And I don't think crime has went up or down.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think that the death penalty really is all that big of a... I mean, I don't think it really scares people away from committing... I mean, it's, you know...
And coincidentally, Bob Taft, a Republican, is for it, getting rid of it. Strickland, a Democrat, is for getting rid of it. Celeste, a Democrat, is for getting rid of it, and now DeWine, a Republican, is for getting rid of it.
I don't know. I honestly couldn't even tell you what the... I mean, I guess maybe there's like a cost argument, but I don't know how much it costs to kill somebody.
Strickland said the other day it costs more to keep them, or more to execute them.
Than to keep them?
Because of the appeals and the drugs and the...
Oh, the legal fees! It's all the legal fees!
Well, and Mike DeWine says it takes at least 20 years... To get through all the appeals and everything. Go ahead, caller.
You know why the death penalty doesn't deter people?
Why is that?
Because they don't kill you anyhow. You end up on death row, you know?
Well, I don't think that's good logic.
We've executed people in Ohio.
And 30 years later, you're still alive.
Well, I mean, that's...
People know that.
You can't execute people right off the go. What if they're innocent?
My people... rob and steal and do that stuff is...
Well, we don't execute for that.
Crime pays. you could drive without a license for 2,000 days straight, and maybe you'll get picked up on that 2,001 day.
Right, but we're talking about the death penalty.
You've made out on all those other days, and when you get you'll probably get parole and a real cheap fine, and you won't have to serve any. If you did serve something, it'd probably be in the county jail, and you get work privileges.
Well, probably. That's not the death penalty.
Is that detouring any crime? We want to put away people.
Are you arguing that if we killed more people, crime would go down?
You know, if you drink a sugary pop, before long they'll be wanting to put you in jail for that.
So, I'm confused.
If marijuana started to be legal and they don't put you in jail for that.
Well, I don't think they put you in jail for marijuana since, you know, it's been a while.
Hey, I got Meals on Wheels here, guys.
All right, say hello.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Later.
All right, 740-383-9944.
Was he saying that if we executed more people, it would be a deterrent?
I think so. I think he was pro-death penalty.
Well,
but
okay.
I don't want to say for sure. By the way, we can get another call if you want to get in here. 740-383-9944.
I don't think that logic makes any sense.
I never understood why the theory was that the death penalty deterred anything.
I mean, it's just like, but it'd be like, you know, nobody would be selling drugs because we have crimes that prevent the selling of drugs. I mean, like, you know, people still sell drugs. I mean, it didn't change that at all. Now we just get locked up for it. So, I mean, you know, I don't think the death penalty really is all that effective. You're just killing people to...
A conversation I've had with many people, I had yesterday with somebody where somebody said, okay, that's fine. Let's say you're pro-death penalty. Now, is it the judge who sentences you to the death penalty? Is it the doctor who administers the drugs who murders you? Is it the... Who's actually murdering you?
I watched a documentary... I guess it was more of an interview with a guy who was like a career executioner at one of the prisons in Texas. And his whole stance on the thing was basically, you know, I was the one pulling the switches, but, like, you know, at the end of the day, you killed yourself because you were the one who did the crime. The judge had to prove you... you had to go through a whole court. You got to...
That's good logic, so you don't go south. Yeah. But, okay, go ahead, Colin.
But isn't, like, you know, the whole dichotomy and that whole drugs and stuff thing, the gun lobby is guns don't kill people, people do. Well, drugs don't kill people, people do. The drugs cannot jump into your body and overdose you without the person choosing, picking it up and all that, or somebody else doing it to them.
Are you making a libertarian argument for the legalization of drugs?
I'm sorry?
Are you making an argument for the legalization of drugs? That's a libertarian argument.
No, I didn't go there at all. Trying to make the point about is people often can see the point of banning drugs and being against drugs and hard drugs, you know, but they can't. But the minute anybody mentions anything about gun control at all, you're against guns. You want to ban guns. No, I want some control. And what they say is guns don't kill people, so why are we blaming the guns? Well, the drugs can't kill people either. They're inanimate objects, same as a gun.
Oh, that's right. That's the gun lobby.
They can't harm you if people don't involve themselves.
A large portion of the guns that are used to kill people and used to commit crimes are not purchased legally anyways.
Well, I get that, but guess what? I can remember back in the day, back in the 70s, we didn't have all these crimes with automatic weapons because they were never available.
You can't buy an automatic weapon.
Let me finish, please. It was not available, and if they're not available, they're not sold in Dick's Sporting Goods that was robbed like three different times in a month, and that's where the criminals get them, see? See, they break into people's houses or break into, you know, storage units, or they break into, the Dick's Sporting Goods time after time.
Or they buy them off the black market.
They steal them from there. So if they're not, if they can't even, same with drugs, you know, if you stop the drugs from being in the country, they can't use them. Same with the guns. If you stop them, I'm not against guns. I love guns. I don't have a problem with guns. I have a problem with people being able to get AR-15s and shit like that and go in and kill grandchildren. You know, I would rather my grandchildren, if they had to dodge a bullet, it was coming out of a revolver or even a .22 long rifle or something like that. Can, you know what I'm saying? Not banana clips. And then you got, you know, down in Uvalde, you know, where 400 police officers stood by.
You can't buy an automatic weapon.
Good people with the gun you need.
Well, I mean, I think generally people were upset that the police didn't do the whole protect and serve thing that they're supposed to do. I mean, that yes, I think that's probably
true.
And
they're the trained ones. But the argument is, well, you know, let's give guns to teachers because they're there and we'll train them. Guess what? If your police officers, 400 plus of them, and some of those police officers had children in that crowd. At least one of them does, I know for a fact. And he restrained himself after the chief said, stop. And these were people who were trained to react. These were former military, many of them.
If the chief told him to stop, then, I mean, that's the structure of command.
Let me ask you something. If you walked in there, and I'm not, but I'm just saying, if that was your child, and you come running in, and then and your chief said stop, and then all of a sudden you're still hearing pow, 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 and you're getting phone calls from your kids saying, Dad, where are you at? They're killing me. Guess what? Stop me.
I mean, you probably will be stopped by the other police.
I'm going to save my fucking family, man.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you.
In the great state of Texas, of all states.
I mean, that's just how the way a command structure works. Your authority tells you to not do something, you don't do it. I mean, that's if you were in the military and they told you not to do something and you did it, you're probably going to be court-martialed.
Well, there's the breakdown then, because like I said, up until that point, it was always, you know what, all we need is one good guy with a gun. I can show you other stories of down in Texas. I lived there. Where people with guns came in and assaulted people in Walmarts. And it was found out later there was at least, you know, 100, 150 people in there with guns.
Well, and we'll continue this conversation tonight. We'll be back 8:50. I hope you join us tonight, 8:15 to 10 p.m. We'll be back tonight.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. We'll be back. Scott Spears heading for the dugout. America 250. Marion became home to a Miss America when Marilyn Meskey won the crown in 1930.